Carl and I go a way back, like a couple of months. A few months. But he's actually a local kid. So Carl grew up round here.
Round here. Granada North, actually. So.
Granada North.
Yep.
Went to Tawa College. For those Tawa College people here who went to Tawa College, there's a few people put their hands up. Went to Vic.
Yep.
Started work as a grey-suited bureaucrat in Wellington, worked with the esteemed Dawn Ferguson in the Ministry of Education.
Yes.
Then he decided there was bigger things to do in life. So he packed his bags. He felt the call of God to go and work with Tandem Ministries. It might have been, was it called that then?
Back then it was called Campus Crusade for Christ.
There you go. Some of you will know that. It's got a few different names around the world. So, but it's now called Tandem Ministries. He has a lovely wife called Amy, three lovely kids, two sons and a daughter who are, so they're up north in Auckland where he lives. So he's worked for 11 years for?
No, it's getting, it's about 18 years been working for Tandem now.
18 years?
Yeah.
18 years. Okay, so worked for 18 years. So, a chunk of that has been in Hong Kong. And then he spent a year in the States doing digital media things.
Yeah.
And now he's back in New Zealand. So we want to welcome him here with us. He's speaking this morning, and then after church we're going to have a workshop. If you want to understand how to use media, social media, technology, you know, and especially with a, we'll talk about it. I'm sure we'll talk about this morning.
Yep.
Especially with an evangelical emphasis. How to share your faith in the modern world, in today's world, with the people around about you. We're going to talk about that after lunch. So, not after lunch, over lunch. So, if you want to, you can stay afterwards and have a bit more in-depth discussion. So, in the meantime, I'm going to pray for you, and let the floor be yours.
Yep.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Carl and Amy. Thank you for the passion that you have given them to serve you, and you've taken him from a kid from around here to all sorts of parts of the world in honour of you. And we pray that you would use him this morning to speak to us, speak through him to us, and help us to listen. We pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Jeff, for that introduction. I'm just a little bit worried about the. I'm all right there. Okay, that's good. Okay, thanks, Jeff, for the introduction. Thank you, all of you, for the warm welcome I've had here at Anchor. It's good to see a few faces I know from way back here, and it's a pleasure to be able to be here sharing with you today about how we bring the unchanging gospel to a changing generation. Now, let me... That's right, yeah. It seems as though, I think...
You're allowed to make it here if they can.
Yeah. Is it turned on? It's this switch here? Up? Yep, it's up. And then the sideways button? Yep, I think the batteries might be dead. Yep. Yep. There we go. Well, technology, obviously this is why we can't depend on it, to reach the world, we need God's people. And so, let me explain a bit more about Tandem Ministries. So Tandem Ministries, our mission is helping to build movements everywhere. And so we want to see spiritual movements of God happening in every aspect of society. And so you might have come across some of the ministries that we have. There's Student Life that works with university students, and I know that we've got a good movement going on at Vic and the Massey campuses here in Wellington. We have Family Life, helping to build growing and healthy families and marriages. And so they run marriage conferences around the country, and some of you may have been to one of those Family Life conferences. We have Athletes in Action, working with athletes, and we have Military Life working with the military, and Work Life working with young people in the workplace. And so we have a variety of different ministries there, and my role is to lead digital strategies for Tandem. And so I'm working with all of these different ministries in helping each of these ministries understand, okay, in this new digital age that we're in, what does this mean about how we go about doing our ministry? What are the new challenges that we're facing? What are the new opportunities that are out there? And so I'm working with all of these different ministry teams and helping them deal with those challenges and opportunities. So he introduced some of my family a little bit. So this is my family here, and so you can see on the left is my wife Amy there. And there's my kids from left to right. Is Zachary, who's in year 11. He's got his NCA1 exams coming up. Vienna, who's in year 9. And Lucas, who's in year 6. And he just heads off onto school camp tomorrow. So he's looking forward to that. And so my wife is from Hong Kong originally. We met here in New Zealand. And all of our kids were born in New Zealand. You got it working? Great, thanks. Okay, and they're all born in New Zealand, but they've done most of their growing up in Hong Kong because we lived there for 8 years. Now, during my time in Hong Kong, one of the greatest challenges that I faced was language. Being able to do ministry effectively when you find it difficult to actually explain deeply about what you're doing, when you find that your language is sort of at a little bit like a preschool level and you're trying to explain the gospel and lead someone in discipleship, is not easy. And so I started looking for ways in which I could, lessen my weaknesses in ministry. And my eyes were open at one point when I was sitting after an early morning prayer meeting, having breakfast, and I had on my phone, which at the time was a Palm Trio, so it was like the precursor to smartphones, and I had a video there of my son doing some kung fu. And everyone was just crowding around, looking at this tiny little screen. It's about half the size of what's on, of what we have on our phone screens nowadays, watching this video. And my eyes were open thinking, wow, what if we could have a message there, a film that could help start a spiritual conversation? What if we could have something like that on a screen? What if we'd be able to start conversations like that? And so that was how I started my journey into getting involved in the digital side of things. And so in Hong Kong, I started leading some of our digital activities that we were doing there. And then, as Jeff said, I had a year working with our global digital strategies team in Orlando as preparation to come back here to New Zealand to lead digital strategies here. Now, Bruce, I don't know if you'd read my notes or if God had just been leading us in the same direction, but this passage here that you read earlier is a passage that is really key in my thinking in terms of this, in terms of how we bring the unchanging gospel to a changing generation. And Paul said, to the Jews I became like a Jew to reach the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law but under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak so as to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. And so two questions come to me from that passage. The first is, how would Paul reach 21st century young people? And the answer to that one, I think, is pretty clear. Paul will become like a 21st century young person to reach 21st century young people. The second question is perhaps not so simple. What does it mean to become like 21st century young people to reach them? And there are four key points that I want to talk about in terms of how this generation is different from the previous generation and what that means in terms of how we communicate the gospel. And so the first is that this generation is a visual generation. You see these icons that are here, and you'll immediately know straight away what each of them mean. Now, when I grew up, we didn't have that power button on our TV screens. We had a button or a switch that had at the top the word on and at the bottom the word off. But now we just have a symbol and everyone knows it means power. And the same when you see home or Bluetooth or like. We are becoming more and more used to communicating in images as opposed to communicating in words. This generation is increasingly visual in terms of how we communicate. And it's interesting, really, because all languages used to be pictographic. Okay, so here you see that the letter A used to be an ox's head. You know, got simplified, turned upside down, and became the letter A, and all of our letters are the same. In Chinese language, actually, they still have that pictographic element to it. So if you see the character, the Chinese character for horse, looks like a horse. Or the Chinese character for turtle, looks like a turtle, although it's standing on its tail. And so we're, in terms of being a visual generation now, it's actually going back to the way that things used to be. And in terms of what that means in terms of how we reach a visual generation, well, the church has already dealt with that problem before, because back in the Middle Ages, when most people were not literate, people were taught the story of the gospel through stained glass windows. And so this is a problem that we can go back and learn from how the church has dealt with this previously. And we can find ways to communicate the gospel in visual means. And so there are numerous short films that are available for starting spiritual conversations. And there's an app that you can download on your phone called Jesus Film Media. And as well as having the entire Jesus film broken up into different scenes. So the Jesus film is about 2 hours long, with it broken up into scenes of about 2 or 3 minutes each, so you can have, like, Jesus baptism. You could have Jesus healing Bartimaeus, or any of those different stories, and just watch that small bit, instead of having to watch the whole thing. And as well as that, it has a number of individual short films that open spiritual conversations. So as well as being a visual generation, this generation is a narrative generation. Narrative as opposed to propositional. Now, let me explain what this means. Now, if you think back to, you know, what advertising used to be in the 50s and 60s, it was, you know, white's whiter, colour's brighter sort of stuff. It would tell you every reason why this product is better than another product. But if you think about advertising today, it's very different. You guys all know the pineapple lumps ad, right? Okay. Now, that ad does not try to convince you that pineapple lumps are any better than any other form of candy. They just tell a story, a funny, amusing story, that makes you feel, yeah, I'm a real Kiwi if I have pineapple lumps. And so it's about a narrative as opposed to a propositional in terms of it has, you know, better taste or anything like that. And this is the way that this generation prefers to communicate and prefers to receive communication. This is a challenge for us as we are communicating the gospel. In terms of our organization, probably the most famous thing that has been produced by our organization is something called the Four Spiritual Laws, where it goes through four principles of how you can know and come into a relationship with God. Now this is all good, and it is still true. But one of the challenges we face is that for this generation, that doesn't necessarily connect with them in the same way as it did with the previous generation. And so we've had a look at developing materials that can present the gospel in more of a narrative form, in telling the story and placing the gospel in a story format, so that people that are more narrative minded can appreciate that and can connect with the gospel in that way. The third is that this is an online generation. Now, I'm sure I don't need to convince you of how big a difference this has made in our lives in the past 20 or 30 years. You know, 30 years ago, none of us were thinking about online at all. But now, we do our banking online, we do our shopping online, we read our news online. There are so many things. We do our communication online, and there are so many industries that have been turned upside down because of the internet. And we are kidding ourselves if we think that the way that we need to do missions is not going to be turned upside down by the internet. Now, the page that you can see there is from everystudent.com. Everystudent.com has the second ranking on Google search if you type in the word God. It will come up second. First is Wikipedia. So coming second to Wikipedia is not bad. And so this is a ministry that has been launched by Tandem's partners in the US. And there are thousands of students that are coming to Christ around the world every day through visiting this website, reading articles that are dealing with the exact sort of questions that students have, and then having an opportunity to respond in faith. And those that do respond in faith are then connected through an email series to take them through follow-up so that they can be established in their faith. Now, these are just some of the, this is just one example. Another example is a Canadian site called Power to Change. Now, in 2015, there were 60,000 visits to this evangelistic website from New Zealand. 60,000 people from New Zealand have gone to read one of these evangelistic articles, to investigate about some of these topics that have been raised by this website. And so there is a great hunger for the gospel around the world. But where people will tend to look first is online. And so we need to have a good online presence so that when people are searching for the gospel, they will find the truth. And they won't find, lies and half-truths and other things that could well be on there. Because one of the dangers about the internet is that there is just so much information, and some of it's good and some of it's not so good. Now, the fourth is that this is a mobile generation. Now, you see a Maasai tribesman there with a mobile phone, and you laugh. But did you know that more people in the world have a mobile phone than have a toothbrush? More people in the world have a mobile phone than have a flushing toilet. And so mobile phones are becoming ubiquitous across the world. Even in places like in the highlands of Kenya, in the jungles of Papua New Guinea, and places like that, people have mobile phones. And so we need to be thinking about what we can be doing to connect the gospel with people through mobile phones. Let me give you an example here. This is an app called Love Europe, and it was set up to help with the refugee crisis that is happening in Europe. Now, these people that come from Syria and Iraq and places like that into Europe that are part of this refugee crisis, they almost always have a cell phone with them, because that's how they're going to stay connected with their networks, with their wider family. But if you have a cell phone, you want it to be able to be useful. There are two things that you need. You need battery, and you need some way of connecting to the internet. And so these people Love Europe. They've organized a campaign to get churches to set themselves up as Wi-Fi hotspots and charging stations for refugees. And so that way, when the refugees, they need somewhere where they can go and charge their phones, and they can get Wi-Fi, they're going to come to churches. And there, when they're at the churches, they have the opportunity to hear the gospel, through Wi-Fi networks. And if you've been at the airport and you've used their Wi-Fi networks, you know how it works. Is that the first place they'll take you to is a place where you can see everything about the airport, and then you can click away from there to go and see the rest of the internet. Well, this gives them an opportunity so that these people can see options to find out about the gospel. The app that they have there also has a phrase book for translating things, so that the refugees who may not speak German or Dutch or any of the languages where they happen to be can find where they can go to, like say, go to a doctor or a laundromat or any other place like that where they might need to go to. It can help them find the words. And so this is an app that has been set up specifically to help these refugees in this crisis, and to enable the church to be able to meet their needs and have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. But more than that, it's interesting how mobile phones can even change lives. I don't know if you came across this story 6 months ago or not, but there was a boy who was given a mobile phone by someone who was reaching out to these refugees. And they gave him this mobile phone and said, if you're ever in trouble, just send me a message. Well, some 2 weeks later, this woman who had given the boy a mobile phone got this message back. And it says here, it's done his spelling there. It says, I need help. Drive a no-stop car, no oxygen in the car, no signal, I am in the container, I'm no joking. Vala was the boy's name. Because he sent that message, people were able to be sent to find this boy and 20 others who were in this container, who were being smuggled across a border somewhere in Europe, to rescue them when they would have died from carbon monoxide poisoning otherwise. And so by using these strategies, by understanding that this generation is different from the previous generation, we can find ways to connect the gospel that saves us from our sin, the gospel that restores us into who God originally meant us to be. And by understanding that this generation is a visual generation, and narrative generation and online generation and a mobile generation. We can communicate it to this generation in a way that they will understand it and can more easily take hold of it and believe it. Thank you.